I have a question. It's not a question I expect you to answer, let me tell you that first, so you can all relax a little. It's a question, though, I would like you to ponder, if only for a few seconds. If I were to give you 20 words or less to describe, say, the Pharisees, how would you do it? This is why I'm not asking you to actually answer the question. Or the Sadducees. These aren't easy questions. Back when I was a history major in college, we called them ID questions. And a standard test went something like this. You'd come in for your midterm, and you'd have a normal class period for this, so you had 50 minutes, and you'd usually pick like 8 out of 10 terms, and you had to identify them. So you had to identify why they were historically important. And then you had the essay in 50 minutes. And 40% of your grade would hang on this test. So it was important to be able to do this quickly, succinctly, and then get on to the essay, which was usually the bulk of the test. But you still wanted to get these right, because if you did, they could make the difference between the letter grade. Now, a good person, someone who knew how to do these well, could answer a question like that in a sentence or two, and could do 8 or 10 of them in about 10 minutes. You had to identify who it was, when it was, and why it mattered. And then you had an essay. Now, the essay was really the easier part, because you could construct an argument and sort of gloss over what you didn't know and make what you did know sound more important. And hopefully, your professor would acknowledge your artistry as much as what you did know in writing your essay. I think that our lawyer friend and his Pharisees, his fellow Pharisees, in today's gospel reading, we're expecting the essay answer from Jesus. Remember, there are 613 laws in the Old Testament. And the Pharisees were the camp that knew them well. And then on top of all of these laws, there were understandings, conflicting understandings, about which ones were more serious, were more weighty than other ones, and what they meant, and how they were to be followed, and how they were to be avoided transgressing them. So I'm sure there were a lot of essay answers to questions like this. Why this law is more important, and how to form a consistent theory behind that law. But that's not what Jesus did, is it? Which commandment is the greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, sort of going for the bonus points here, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he was done. In my mind, I can sort of see the lawyer and his friends who are sitting in the back row in my mind, because where else do you sit in this case? Sort of fidgeting. They just settled in for the nice, long, and hopefully slightly rambly essay answer. Rambly is good, because then you can catch people off guard. And he's done. Furthermore, how can you argue with this? How can you argue with this? Because there are a few things about this summary of the law, which is still one of the things I hear most quoted when people talk about Christianity. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. About what is important and what is central. That we have forgotten. It's an amazing summary of the Ten Commandments. You can divide the Ten Commandments into two groups. The first 4 talk about how we should treat God, and the last 6 talk talk about how we should treat our neighbors. It's an amazing summary of the Ten Commandments. These are actual Old Testament laws that Jesus is citing. He has literally picked two out of the 613 laws. He knew his stuff. He was a good Jew and a learned rabbi in his own right. The Pharisees must have been sitting there going, well, okay then, what do we do next? We forget something else. This is a basic thing, and it's a hard thing, even if we forget all of the 613 other laws, which, let's be honest, we have, mostly, almost completely, except when we don't like them. Trying to live into these two is almost impossible. And when you try, it changes everything. Even if you can't remember all 10 of the Ten Commandments, which is, again, only a starter course on the commandments in the Old Testament. If you take these as an interpretive model for why those matter, it changes them. You should not covet what your neighbor has, because you should first love your neighbor and rejoice with him or her for what they do have. Well, suddenly that sounds a little different, doesn't it? Love the Lord your God, because remember, the Lord your God loves you first. Wow. It's a different interpretive framework. When we try to live out of that, if that is our baseline go-to default, we are changed, which is an important thing to consider. Isn't that the goal of all of this? To change us? To make us more like the God who already loves us? Enough, perhaps, to let us forget the 611 other commandments? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe if we get really good at this, our faces too will begin to shine. Amen.